This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's the Thursday, September 13th, 2018 edition of the Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's nice weather this afternoon. High temperature 78, currently 75 at O'Hare, 70 at the lakefront.
And the Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. The market's solidly in positive territory today. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob and Chris. We are seeing gains across the board. The Dow up 128 or 0.5%. The Nasdaq gaining 68 points or almost 1%, moving back above 8,000. And the S&P is higher by 15 points, also moving above a kind of a milestone of above 2,900. That's a gain of 0.5%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.25%. Locally based Sears Holdings is pushing down our local benchmark after the company pushed back the scheduled release of its second quarter results today until after the market closes. The original plan was to publish before the opening bell, so that's flashing an alarm for investors, and they are sending that stock sharply lower. The gains for the larger market come as the U.S. and China begin to work out details for a new round of trade talks. That's lifting hopes that the two sides will be able to ease tensions. And consumer prices barely budged last month. Not only did inflation cool in August, but we actually paid less for some goods and services. Medical and dental care services were down the most in almost a year. Clothes prices were way down, with the apparel part of that report posting its biggest drop since 1949. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're watching, of course, Hurricane Florence and how that could hit the economy in the United States, and just what is the Waffle House Index?
Then we'll talk about retail, the retail sector, and artificial intelligence that's coming up on Technology Thursday. And then, of course, we'll continue our Hurricane Florence coverage with talking about the impact on the airline industry. Several airlines have their hubs inside the hurricane zone, so we'll talk about the impact on you when you travel.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, the number of grocery stores is down, with the amount of shelf space in the remaining ones at a 10-year low. We'll update the grocery wars in our next segment. But right now, the East Coast is bracing for the arrival of Hurricane Florence, which is packing winds of greater than 100 miles an hour. Let's examine the potential economic impact with Matt Mategan, who is the CEO of Blue World Asset Managers based in Chicago. Matt, welcome to the program. AccuWeather estimates this storm could cause $50 to $60 billion in economic damage. Try to break down that figure for us. You know, what constitutes economic damage when a storm comes ashore?
Well, breaking that down into its component parts is obviously far and wide-reaching, and I know that we're going to go over some industry-specific stuff as the show goes on today, but generally speaking, this is going to have an impact locally, regionally, and nationally. Some of those impacts are more obvious than others. We, of course, think in terms of property damage, the insurance industry, and the ones that are less obvious is the impact that there's going to be on agriculture and forestry. You mentioned grocery store shelves being a little bit light, and this is going to impact coast to coast the costs and availability of things like vegetables and processed wood items and tobacco. There's a huge component to the Carolinas' economies that comes from agriculture, and that's not one that's often thought of high on the list when we're talking about hurricanes.
In 2011, the head of FEMA coined the term the Waffle House Index to talk about, to gauge potential storm damage, that if a Waffle House in a particular town is closed because of storm damage, the damage is pretty severe. And he was talking about the deadly tornado in Joplin, Missouri. We know Walmart actually tweeted a picture of its storm monitoring center today. But this could really do a number on the business of a number of chain restaurants in the Southeast.
Oh, that's absolutely true. There are some very big and publicly traded chains that have a big presence in the East and Southeast. Names like Bojangles, Carrols, Cracker Barrel, they're all publicly traded, and they're all down in anticipation of this storm. And I love that you brought up the Waffle House Index. If you're not from these regions, you may not be aware, FEMA actually developed an internal index that has green, yellow, and red designations for whether or not a Waffle House will be open with a full menu, open with a partial menu, or just plain closed. If you follow at Waffle House News on Twitter, and I just checked it about 2 minutes ago, there hasn't been a recent update, but FEMA takes very, very seriously whether or not Waffle Houses are going to be open, because they are very well known for remaining open during natural disasters, and you know, with an emphasis on being able to service first responders and recovery people.
Well, we know the area where the worst damage will be done and the worst hit to the economy. Does Chicago, Illinois, other places, do we get something out, you know, a problem with our economy too?
Well, sure. Again, to the extent that we are consumers of some of those agricultural products that I talked about, that'll have an impact. But the more down-home kind of impact, Chicago is extremely well known for exporting human resources into disaster zones all over, not just the country, but all over the world. So I would fully expect that we're going to be sending everybody from police officers and National Guardsmen to doctors and nurses into these areas, and a lot of those folks are going to be first responders, so they are going to go and voluntarily put themselves in harm's way to assist in this management.
You're absolutely right. In fact, we had a story yesterday about the Chicagoans who are getting ready to go down there. Some have already left. Thanks so much for joining us today, Matt Mategan, CEO at Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. You can check out his blog at blueworldam.com.
Coming up, what's happening with competition and prices at the grocery store.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The mega competitive grocery industry continues to evolve. Let's learn of the latest from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. So welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Phil, let's talk about the trends and who's winning the grocery wars.
Well, Chris, there's no question that Amazon Whole Foods is doing more to upset the apple cart, if you would, than anybody else. But there was just a report that came out a day or so ago. It's really quite upsetting. It says that don't believe the hype about Amazon savings at Whole Foods. There's this analyst who has been tracking prices at Princeton, New Jersey, one store, and he's saying that you're just going to save about $1.54 after you pay the $119 annual Prime membership fee. Now, there's a lot of problems with this report, and it's making huge headlines. Number one, as I said, it's one store. Also, it's in Princeton, New Jersey, which is hardly the bastion of middle America, and their major competitor is Wegmans, which is also a high-priced store. So we can't expect Whole Foods prices when they're beating up against Wegmans to really have that much of a discount. I know that here in Los Angeles, looking at stores in Venice, California, and Santa Monica, where there's a number of stores, the prices have gone down. So this report, as far as I'm concerned, really is very bogus and very misleading.
All right. So what are the other headlines that you would throw out here in the grocery wars?
Well, Kroger, I think that here's also a report that the whole industry is overreacting to, especially Wall Street, where, you know, their stock price is down 9% because they reported net sales of $27.87 billion for the second quarter. The prediction was 27.93. So it's only off a little bit. And frankly, this is only the second quarter that Kroger's new initiatives have really taken place. We haven't seen their purchase of Ocado take place yet. Their sales in e-commerce are double what they were just about a year or so ago. So I think that Wall Street is really overreacting to Kroger, and I think that Kroger is going to come back really strong. Also, let's not forget that Kroger bought Roundy's, which owns Mariano's. And we really haven't seen that whole Mariano's concept evolve throughout Kroger's KMAs, their marketing areas throughout the country. And I think once they expand that, that's going to make a huge difference to the Kroger bottom line and to the Kroger sales.
It's interesting you do mention the Mariano's concept, because I lived in Milwaukee for a little while, and of course Roundy's owns the Pick and Save brand, and they rolled out a Mariano's type store in an upscale neighborhood in Milwaukee in about 2005, and it seems like that idea of the Pick and Save Metro Market, the upscale grocery store, leaked into Mariano's when that rolled out in Chicago in 2010, and it's kind of interesting that it stopped there. It stopped in the Chicago area and didn't move on.
Well, Rob, I think you're right, which is why the Kroger bought Mariano's, to be able to take that format and grow it. You know, down in Texas, HEB owns something called Central Market that they started probably 30 years ago. And when I looked at that format at that point in time, I said, this should go nationwide. This is fabulous. It out Mariano's. Lots of fresh food, lots of prepared food, and so on. But again, family-owned HEB did not want to, you know, roll it out nationwide or license the concept to others. But I think Kroger buying Mariano's is going to see that grow throughout the country.
Well, thank you very much, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, the use of robotics and artificial intelligence in retail.
WBBM News Time 12:25. Let's check the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the gains are sticking around. The Dow is up 126 points or 0.5%. NASDAQ on the move up by 60 points. The composite is at 8,014, a gain of 0.75%. And the S&P also gaining ground, up 14 points or 0.5%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up 0.25%. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have lower prices across the board now after being mixed overnight. The moment we have December corn at 3.49¾, down 2¾. That's a penny off its low. We have November soybeans at 8.33¾, down 6¼. They were down 8 on their low. And wheat is now down 10¾ in December at 4.96 on its low. Big supplies yesterday from USDA report pushing crop prices lower. And this is Pete at Bates Commodities.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are rallying today. We'll see what's propelling the markets.
It's Technology Thursday. Artificial intelligence and robots are starting to change the face of retail.
General Motors is issuing a huge recall involving its trucks and SUVs.
12 jurors have now been selected in the murder trial of Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke, with alternates still needing to be chosen.
Hurricane Florence churns toward the Carolinas, causing a ripple effect on air travel.
Wall Street, the Dow up 123, the NASDAQ gaining 61, and the S&P 500 up 13.5.
AccuWeather says a pleasant afternoon for you with sunshine and patchy clouds, a high of 78. It's 75 degrees as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
General Motors is recalling more than a million vehicles. Let's get details with Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter in Detroit. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, it's not just any vehicles. It's some of GM's best-selling models, their big pickup trucks and their big SUVs, all 2015 models. We're talking about the Chevy Silverado, GMC Sierra, as well as the Tahoe, the Yukon, the Escalade, and the Suburban. Essentially, these vehicles have an issue with their power steering, where power steering can be lost. And that, of course, increases the risk of a crash. GM says there have been about 30 crashes, 2 injuries, no deaths.
Okay. When a recall is called like this, do owners of the cars come and get done what has to be done?
You know, historically, about 70% of recalls are completed, because a lot of people get these recall notices in the mail. They either ignore them, they set them down, and they don't do anything on them. And a lot of times the recall issues are caught by the dealer when somebody takes the car back to the dealer for another issue. But if somebody does a repair, say, at an independent service shop, they may not know about the recall. So it's always good to check the safercar.gov website to see if your vehicle is under any kind of active recall.
Historically, recalls of this magnitude, do they impact, will they negatively impact Chevy and GMC sales of new models going forward?
Generally, they don't, because recalls nowadays have become very common, and car makers are pretty quick to announce a recall. So, I mean, we've seen recalls at every major brand, domestic and import. So it's kind of become a part of doing business.
Thank you very much, Jeff Gilbert, the CBS News auto reporter based in Detroit, Michigan. WBBM News time is 12:33. Let's get a look at Wall Street. There are gains on Wall Street today, and we're joined by Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, welcome back to the program. Before we talk about what's happening on Wall Street today, let's talk about how the hurricane can disrupt the financial markets in the near term.
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Rob. And this hurricane, obviously our thoughts go out to the Carolinas. The category has been lowered to a Cat 2, but what's happening there is the storm is moving so slowly that the rainfall tolls are going to be gigantic. So there's going to be big flooding, and hopefully everyone's at higher ground down there. It's kind of scary. How it affects financial markets, I'll be honest with you, there are theories on some stocks that may do well or do poorly, but my own opinion is that when you know a hurricane is coming, the market, this is not market moving news necessarily, unless it's going to really affect oil supplies. So you're not going to get a whole lot of market moving events based on a hurricane.
Well, let's talk about trading today. The markets are in positive territory. What's driving trading today?
Honestly, there's no big macro news right now. We're kind of in the summer, end of summer doldrums, where volatility often can be muted. So you have a small uptick in the S&P today, a better gain in NASDAQ, kind of a catch up in September where it was down for the month, and now we're basically flat in the S&P. I don't look at this as anything earth-shattering or anything to really learn from, other than the fact that we're pretty much just making up for a slow start in September, and now we're back to even.
Michael, the economy is doing well. The markets are doing well. Does that give you a little bit of unrest? Are you worried about what happens next?
Well, that's what a trader does. Is you what the minute something, an event occurs, it's history, and you have to look to what's next. And what's next right now is going to be the next earnings cycle, which we'll start hearing in about a month. You know, you'll get some third quarter earnings reports, but they're expected to be good. Everything appears fine, and certainly that does make you nervous, because it never lasts forever. There's always a recession at some point, but growth has been so muted. And when I say growth in the GDP under the Obama administration and the beginning of the Trump administration, that maybe this is going to cause a much longer business growth cycle because we just haven't grown at the high pace that we have had in past recoveries. So we may just be plodding along here with, 2 to 4% GDP growth, hopefully closer to 4 over the next few years. And that might cause the business cycle to actually be longer. And that's why a lot of people expecting a downturn may end up being surprised.
And what kind of calculated risk might you take here?
So I got a new stock for you today. I like Intuit. It's a risky name in that its PE is north of 40, but I like the stock just on a technical basis. It's been a horse this year, and I believe it's a good bet going forward. This certainly would not be a name that I would put, half my portfolio money in, but it's definitely a name that I think you can get another 10 to 20% in. So I think that would be a good calculated risk right now.
All right, Michael, thanks for joining us. Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk. Here in Chicago. Ahead, Technology Thursday, the growing use of science and tech in retail businesses.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Artificial intelligence and robotics playing an increased role in daily life, and that includes the retail business. Let's get an update on advances, many of them being made right here in Chicago, from Stephen Keith Platt, who is the director of the Platt Retail Institute in Hinsdale and the research director at the Retail Analytics Council at Northwestern University. Stephen, welcome to the program. What are some of the ways that we will experience artificial intelligence and robotics when we go to the store in the near future?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Rob. So in terms of AI, most of the efforts that retailers are placing the emphasis is on personalization and customization, getting a much better sense of, who you are, what you've purchased, what kind of offers you'll respond to. That's probably where the bulk of the activity today is. Retailers are really, for the most part, just gearing up. Other action in that space is in supply chain. In terms of robotics, you've probably read about or seen, Rob, a lot of stuff in warehouses like Amazon. But in terms of the front of the store, Walmart's running a test of a shelf audit robot, an autonomous robot that goes up and down the shelves scanning for out of stocks, correct pricing, et cetera. And you're going to start seeing a lot of those kind of service robots in the future.
Now, this sounds like something, especially in the artificial intelligence arena, if everyone has a frequent shopper card or something they scan at the grocery store or even at CVS, it seems that we may have been dealing with artificial intelligence and shopping for a long time then.
Well, the kinds of data traditionally you could get from a loyalty card or a CRM, customer relationship management, the data has been available. What's new now is the ability to process rapidly due to AI, or more specifically machine learning, and taking that data and be able to parse it much finer, much faster. So in other words, Rob, you might be a CVS shopper and you buy particular products. Now I can identify fairly rapidly weather conditions, where you're shopping, what similar people have bought, what the flu conditions are like in the areas, et cetera, et cetera. So the data has been available. What really has been difficult, and we've been doing retail analytics for 20 years, is rapidly processing massive amounts of data and gaining insights that are automatically generated as opposed to us having to run out software programs each and every time.
What kind of working program do you have with Northwestern?
Thank you for asking, Chris. So we partnered with Northwestern about 4 years ago to start the Retail Analytics Council. And in April, we announced two major programs. One is our AI lab, and the other is our Retail Robotics Initiative. The purpose of our AI lab is to partner with retailers and do research, and specifically to train our grad students for jobs in retail. Very pleased to announce we partnered with Sears, and we're starting to teach our first group of students some fascinating AI programs in about a week or two. There's a huge demand by retailers for younger people with these kind of skills, because most of them are attracted to Google and, you know, Facebooks of the world. So retailers have been extremely supportive. And again, we're really thrilled that Sears is working with us. In terms of the Retail Robotics Initiative, we have our first three robots that were donated by Avatar Minds, which is a Chinese robot manufacturer. And the objective there is to introduce new types of robotic applications in retail. One of the ones I'm principally involved in is an autonomous robot for doing RFID.
Well, it's very interesting. We hope to hear back from you on some of these projects you're doing. Stephen Keith Platt, director of the Platt Retail Institute in Hinsdale, research director at the Retail Analytics Council at Northwestern. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, how Hurricane Florence is disrupting air travel.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hurricane Florence has lost a little steam, but is still heading toward the Carolinas with winds stronger than 100 miles an hour. Let's take a look at the storm's impact on air travel with Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University here in Chicago. What does this do to the airliner plans for many people?
Yeah, the activity is starting to happen. We're seeing a lot of preemptive cancellations right now. It looks like we're about 1,700 flights canceled. A couple interesting things have happened. One is, I mean, good news is the airlines are getting more optimistic that the big hubs in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Atlanta may not be affected. So they're not canceling those flights. Most of the damage is limited to Myrtle Beach and you know, Charleston and a few other airports. So things are looking a little better than yesterday.
So the big hit is then what, to smaller airports?
Yeah, it's a whole belt of airports, really, from Myrtle Beach, Wilmington, Jacksonville, and those are affected in a big way. And the sense is the airlines are a little bit on a wait-and-see pattern still. We thought we might see, you know, wholesale cancellations at the big airports, but the storm was slightly downgraded. But the next few hours are really going to be critical, because it could well be that Charlotte, in a matter of hours, things could turn and we could see thousands of cancellations, but we're crossing our fingers right now.
And of the big hubs in North Carolina, are they still Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham, or is the combined American Airlines, U.S. Airways, have they moved some of the hubs in and around in the Southeast?
No, Charlotte is really a massive hub, you know, European service, and it's the old Piedmont hub that's turned into a super hub. And, boy, that's the lifeblood of American's operation in the whole Southeast. So if that goes, we're going to see massive cancellations. So fingers crossed. Raleigh's a big operation as well. At least for now, most of Raleigh flights are still scheduled. But like I say, there has been 1,600 cancellations, which is significant. And the sense is nobody quite knows when the storm hits the land which direction it's going to go. And if it heads straight west, that means Charlotte is probably going to come down, you know, with all the service. But it could well go south, they think, which could affect Florida a bit more.
Bottom line, check with your airline. Thank you very much. Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time at 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets now. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is up 125 points, or about 0.5%, while the NASDAQ is gaining 56 points, or almost 0.75%, S&P higher by 13. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also winning the session, up about 0.25%. Crude futures are lower, down 2.5%, near $68.50. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Baseball is back.
and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.